Good morning. This is going to be just when anyone walks in, this is our last class before Pesach. So I guess the Mitzvah Shem afterwards will, I'll email you. No, I hope to have one or two at least after Pesach, so we'll see. But I'll send emails. So I figured we would, you know, take a little detour from our usual women in Tanakh and speak a little bit about things that have to do with Pesach. I know a lot of people, some people brought Haggadahs. Sorry, we're not going to do the Haggadah, but I thought maybe to do something else, also very much connected to Pesach, that we don't really, you know, think so much about. And I feel like also now, in the preparations for Pesach, the shopping, the cooking, the cleaning, the getting everything ready, you know, we have the Haggadah and the Seder in the back of our minds somewhere, or we hear our kids practicing, you know, the Manish Tana. But other than that, you know, I feel like there's a much deeper element to Pesach, and specifically to this time, that we can focus on. And I think really, you know, that's represented through what we read on Shabbos Chol Moed. Shabbos Chol Moed, when we come to Shul, we read Shir Shirim, which is personally one of my favorite Sifrei Tanakh, but again, something that we don't really, I find, know so much about. It's very, you know, hard to understand what is this, you know, especially when you're looking at this book, at this story, and even if you're just reading along in the English, you know, you read, it's beautiful. It's, you know, the best Hallmark card out there, a beautiful love song. You know, it's describing this intense love and this passion between two people, two lovers. And then we question, hold on a second, what is this Sefer doing in the 24 books of Tanakh, right? It seems, this book seems anything but holy. We have these 24 special books, these 24 holy books, and yet it's hard for us to understand, well, how does Shir HaShirim fit into these books? And not only is it included, but Chazal tell us in Shir HaShirim Rabbah that Kol Aksuvim Kodesh V'Shir HaShirim Kodesh Kodashin, that all the books of the Tanakh are holy, but Shir HaShirim is the holy of the holies. It's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So not only is it included, but it's even this higher level. So I think we really have to understand, well, what is so special about Shir HaShirim? Why is it so holy? What is so special about it? Clearly, it's more than just this beautiful Hallmark card, this beautiful love song between two lovers. So I'd like to spend a little time, a little bit of a background overview, and to get a little bit of understanding of what we're talking about in Shir HaShirim, and hopefully I think that will give us a little bit of insight into the Yontif of Pesach, but specifically, you know, Pesach is that start of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I think that really, you know, this will give us another perspective on the times other than the Seder and the cleaning and the preparation and the matzah and all of those things. So it's interesting, if you look in your first source, I brought down the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, and he basically asks, he says, well, what's the appropriate kinds of love that a person should have between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now, ladies, I would like you to note that that this halacha is found in Hilchos Tshuva. Okay, so it's very, very interesting. And what does the Rambam write? The Ketzad hi ha'ava haroya hu sheyahov et Hashem. What is that appropriate love that a person should have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ava gdola yisera, aza ma'od, aza tehe nafsho kshura ba'avas Hashem, v'nimtza shuga bo tamid, ki ilu chole choli ahava, she'en da'ato penuya me'ava so isha, v'hu shuga bo tamid, right? Basically, what is this special love? It has to be a strong love, an intense love, so much so that the soul is kshura, it's connected with Avas Hashem, and you're basically, you're meshuga, you're crazy. You're love, you know, you're crazy in love. That what do? You're lovesick. Ki ilu chola chola choli ava, she'en da'ato pnuya me'avas oso isha, right? That your mind just can't get away from it. Everywhere you are, it doesn't matter where you're going, that's what you're thinking about. And everything you do, you know, like, you think about a person who has a crush, you think about that person, well, what would that person think about if they saw me dressed like this? Well, what would that person think about, you know, if they were in this situation? Would they enjoy doing this with me? Would they not enjoy doing this with me? Well, if I was making dinner for that person, what would they like? And basically, your mind is constantly thinking, everything you do, every step that you take, you're constantly thinking about, well, what would this person that I love, or that I have this crush on, or this intense relationship, these intense feelings for, what would they think about the situation that I'm in? It's a love sickness. Bein b'shifto, bein b'kumo, bein b'shashu ochav, shotei. Basically, at every point in your day, when you're sitting, when you're sleeping, when you're eating, whatever you are doing, your mind is constantly thinking about this person that you are so madly in love with. Yoter mizeh, teya avar Hashem, believe ohavav, shogim bo tamed, kemo shetivinu b'chol avchav, b'chol nafshecha. And that's really what our love for our Kadosh Baruch Hu has to be. It has to be this meshuga, this love craziness, this love sickness that we're always thinking about him. Like the pasuk tells us, we have to love him with all our heart and our soul. V'hu sheshlomo amer derech mashal ki cholas ahava ani v'kol shir hashirim mashal hu le'inyan zeh. And then what does the Rambam write? Again, ladies, remember, this is the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. He says, this is the whole mashal that Shlomo HaMelech is writing in Shir HaShirim. When Shlomo HaMelech says, Ki cholas ava ani, I am lovesick. This is what Shlomo HaMelech is talking about. And you should know that the whole Shir HaShirim is a mashal, is a parable for this. Okay, so basically, this is our background. Before we come into actually discussing the different approaches to what we're talking about in Shir HaShirim, according to the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Shir HaShirim is the way we should approach our intense love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like a person who is madly in love with someone, they can't stop thinking about them. They think about that person at every step they take. Whether they're sitting, whether they're eating, whether they're sleeping, it doesn't matter. They're constantly thinking, well, what would that person think? Well, what would that person do? Because their minds can't escape that person. So too is our love for our Kadosh Baruch Hu. B'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, and everything we do, and every step we take, we're constantly thinking, well, what would a Kadosh Baruch Hu think if he saw me like this? Well, what would he think? Well, how would he want me to interact in this type of situation? Because our whole life is focused around this cholas ava, this intense love, this love sickness for our Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's basically what Shir HaShirim is. And it's interesting, there's a lot of different shailos and shuvos about Shir HaShirim. You know, Shir HaShirim is a shir, it's a song. And very often, we look in the Torah, let's say by Az Yashir, songs are written, it's called Areach Agabe Levena, which basically means it looks like bricks. Right? You would see these interesting, if you would open up the, you know, you'd roll to and through the Chumash, and you would look at, let's say, Az Yashir, you would see that there are gaps, which shows that it's a shira, it's a song. However, when it comes to Shir HaShirim, it's not written like all other songs. It's not written Areach Agabe Levena, like in this brick-like structure with these spaces. So why? What is different about Shir HaShirim? What is special? And it's basically coming back to the same concept that Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kodashim, it's this Holy of Holies. It's this intense love between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael, and between Bnei Yisrael and Hashem. And so therefore, because of this intense love, intense closeness, we don't want to have any separation like we do in any other Shira, let's say by Az Yashir or anywhere else. We don't want to have any separation. And so therefore, there's no Areach Agabe Levena. There's no separation. There's no breaks. Because that is what our love and our connection is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, it's very interesting. Another one of the Shilas and Shuvas brings down, you know, if you really want to understand what you're missing, you have to go back to what you had, you know? We can sit here and we can mourn the Beis HaMikdash, right? But it's very hard for us because we don't really understand what we're missing, what we can't really wrap our minds around. What was the Beis HaMikdash? And that's why during the time of Ezra, it says, you know, when they were building the second Beis HaMikdash, there were two different reactions. The young people were so excited. Wow, look, we have a Beis HaMikdash. And the old people, they cried. They were sad because why? They remembered the first Beis HaMikdash in its glory. They remembered what they had. And now they see the second Beis HaMikdash. And yes, it's very nice and it's very special to have the Beis HaMikdash. But they remembered all those beautiful things from the first Beis HaMikdash that were lacking in the second Beis HaMikdash. So if you really want to understand what you're missing, you have to go back to what you had. And so therefore we say that if a person would really sit and read Shir HaShirim with Kavana and would really understand the meaning of Shir HaShirim, they would cry more than if they would read the Kinos on Tisha B'Av. Because the Shir HaShirim is so powerful. It's describing this beautiful, intense relationship that we had between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if we could really wrap our minds, ourselves around what we had and what we lost, we would cry more then we cry on Tisha B'Av. Then when we read of all the tragedies and all the suffering that befell our people. And so therefore we see Shir Shirim has this intense power to describe and to put in our minds this beautiful picture of what our relationship was with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, we say different things. The Gemara Sanhedrin tells us that Shir Shirim is so Kadosh that you can't even make songs about it. And again, one of the Shilas and Shuvas writes that you can't teach Shir HaShirim to kids or to Amei HaAretz, and you can't just simply translate it because it's all Kodesh Kadashim. There's no Nimshal. Very often we have a parable. We have the Pshat level, and then we have the Nimshal, the Mashal and the Nimshal, the story, and then what we translate it into, right? But Shir HaShirim, we can't just read it simply as, kiss me from the kisses of your lips, because there's no pshat, there's no simple meaning. Everything is depth, everything is the nimshal between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we have to be careful when we teach it, when we explain it, who we're teaching it to, because we have to realize the great sanctity of it. We have to realize that, yes, there are 24 books of Tanakh, but there's something special, there's something Kodesh Kedushim about the book of Shir HaShirim. Again, we say like all other Kitvei Kodesh, they have this concept of Pardesh, Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod. But when it comes to Shir HaShirim, we don't have this Pshat level. There's no simple understanding of this beautiful Hallmark card. There's obviously something more there. There's something deeper there. When we look into it and we can really understand it, it will explain to us what we had and what we can once again achieve. And that's what's so beautiful about it. So just a little bit of background. When was Shir HaShirim? First of all, who wrote Shir HaShirim? Shir HaShirim Asher L'Shlomo, good. Shlomo Melech wrote Shir HaShirim. And when was it written? So Shir HaShirim was written, it's basically a collection of maros, a collection of visions that Shlomo HaMelech had when the Aron was put into the Kodesh Kedushim. And so the Zohar tells us when was this written? It was written when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking about, obviously, the first Beis HaMikdash. And the Netziv asks, which is on your source sheet, it's on the back of your source sheet, the Netziv asks, well, why did Shlomo HaMelech specifically write it at that time? I think that there's such a deep lesson in this. And the Netziv writes, "Biyoter hetorer Shlomo lezeh b'sha'asha bana beit hamikdash v'ne'esru habamot sh'ayu regilim chasidei hador la'akriv u'lasig a'idei ze'avas Hashem." Va'ata nishbaso sasiba lorer zo satanu ka'az kamaves. Right? So what happened? Why did Shlomo HaMelech see that there was a specific reason, a specific purpose, that now I build the Beis HaMikdash, now is this time that I need to write this beautiful love song, this love story between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So what happened when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash? We had this centralized place to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now the bamot were asered. What was a bama? A bama was, okay, let's say in my backyard or somewhere else, I had this little altar, and I was able to be makriv, to bring some sort of carbon, some sort of sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But once the Beis HaMikdash was built, we were not allowed to, you know, have our own little bamot in our backyards or by our neighbors. You had to be olal regal, and the only place that you were allowed to be makriv a carbon was Yerushalayim. Now, on the one hand, it's so beautiful, right? We have this Beis HaMikdash, we have this centralized place of worship. But on the other hand, if I want to feel that closeness, if I want to feel that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I live in the south or in the north, it's not so easy that I could just go to my backyard and bring a carbon and feel that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which again, he says, Hatanu kazeh ha'az kamavetz. We can't obviously relate to this, we don't understand what it means to bring a carbon, but it was a tainug, it was an enjoyment that was as come of us. It was strong as death. It was intense. There was some sort of intense pleasure in bringing a korban on a bama. And now we have this Beis HaMikdash, and what am I to do? You know, if I want to go, I have to, you know, saddle up my horses, my donkeys, my camels, and I have to make the trek to Yerushalayim. And I'm no longer allowed to connect to God in this unbelievable way that I was allowed to before. So right, we see this in our history. We had in the times of Korach, we had the 250 people. Right, it wasn't. They weren't on the same. I mean, they wanted the same thing as Korach, but their background wasn't the same as Korach. They didn't want power. They said, you know, why are we different? I also want the ability to be makriv. Why could it only be the Kohen? Why could it only be someone else? And they so desperately wanted this connection with God and this ability to come close with God that they put themselves in a place of sakana, right? Right? And even so, we see in the times of these kings that were chassidim, they were good kings, but it was so hard for Bnei Yisrael to let go, even though it was usher of the bamot, because they so desperately wanted to connect with God. They so desperately wanted this ability, this unbelievable tainug.
Etc.
Right? Only in the time of Chizkiyahu, when there was this unbelievable learning of Torah, when Chizkiyahu showed them, look, guys, I know you want to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there's another venue. This is the way you're supposed to do it. Do it through Torah. Then people were able to let go a little bit. So this was the purpose. This is why specifically right now Shlomo Melech is writing this song. Why? Because this song arouses this unbelievable love between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Mavaksha, those who desire to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'gam lamad bo Yisrael kol chator shmevi lidei avas Hashem. V'gam hemshech hadverim hizir al bakashat hazagar avat al yidei drachim she'ina mehuganim. U'mikol shekein al yidei ofanim mepirei higayon tor v'shmirat mitzvot chas v'shalom. U'kamo shehuzarnu etc. So basically, what's Shlomo Melech doing here? He knows that now Bnei Yisrael are going to have this conflict, this problem. We so desperately want to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to have this tainug, this unbelievable delight of being able to be makriv a korban and connect to God in that way. And all of a sudden, it's taken away from me. It's not allowed. So Shlomo Melech is showing, no, there's other ways that are okay to and that are preferred, and that are the ways, and there are still ways that you can connect to God. Read this story, this shir. It arouses that love that you would accomplish, and there are other ways to come close to God, which is actually also described in Shir Shirim through learning of the Torah. But he also warns of those other ways that we think we might be able to come close, but are not necessarily okay. You know what I'm saying? There's a way, there's a derech, which I think is such an important lesson for us. I mean, this is not a new lesson. I mean, obviously it's very much in current events, but this goes back, you know, to generations or whatever. You want to become close to God, there's a recipe. There's a way to do it. You know, I might feel very good about doing something, but about bringing a carbon out of Bama, and I might think I'm accomplishing the most amazing thing. Wow, look at this owning, I'm coming close to God. But if that's not what God wants, and that's usher, so then what am I doing? I'm doing exactly the opposite. You know, it's like the kid who says, oh, you know, I'm sorry I'm late, I was helping the old lady, you know, cross the street. Well, what took so long? Well, she didn't want to cross. You know what I'm saying? You're not accomplishing anything if that's not what the person wants. You know what I'm saying? So what is Shlomo HaMelech telling us? Yes, you're not allowed to bring karbanos on bamos, but there are prescriptions, there are ways to become close to God. And this is the ultimate expression of that. This is Shir Shirim. And we have the Torah. So it's like the famous story, you know, about someone who came to the Rav Soloveitchik, and she said to, you know, Rav Soloveitchik, you know, I really feel like I'm on that spiritual place. I want to get to that next level of closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think I'm ready for tzitzis. So Soloveitchik said to her, okay, you know, but let's take it slow. So do me a favor, go home and, you know, wear the four-cornered garment. Wear that for a week or two and come back to me. You know, no strings, no nothing. Just wear the four-cornered garment. And she came back, you know, 2 weeks later, and she said, you don't know, I feel so uplifted. I feel so close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's unbelievable. I'm ready for the next step. And he looked at her and he said, it's very nice, but it was all in your mind because you did nothing. Wearing a four-cornered garment as a woman without any strings, or even a four-cornered garment without the tzitzis, means nothing. It was all in your mind. But Hashem gives us a way to become close with Him, a prescription. This is what we have to do, and this is how we have to accomplish. And again, what's good for one person is not necessarily good for another person. You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't mean that one person is different than another. It's what is good for me and in my way as a person, right? A person who is a Kohen has the ability to connect to God in a different way than a person who's a Levi, or a person who's a Yisrael, or a person who's a man, or a person who's a woman, etc., etc., etc. There are a lot of differences, and a person who's from Shevet Reuven has a different job than a person from Shevet Shimon, etc., etc. But there is some sort of prescribed way to become close to God. And this is why Shlomo HaMelech is writing this at this very moment in time, at this juncture, because this is the point that we feel like, wait a second, I'm losing something. But we have to remember, that's not what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. But it doesn't mean we can't become close to Him. We just have other venues. And Shir HaShirim is coming to remind us, we have that ability to become close, but we have to go through it in the directed manner. Okay. So I really wanted to just take basically three different approaches. Obviously, we said that there's no shot, there's no simple way to understand it. We're not just going to read Shir HaShirim like a Hallmark card. That there's something much deeper. There's only the remez, the drash, and the sod. And I wanted to take three different approaches, which I think really, you know, covers the spectrum, but really also gives us insight into this beautiful song. And I also hopefully, you know, into our own lives, as we said, that Shir HaShirim is this prescription. If we understand what we had and what we lost, you know, we can really understand what we're trying to get back to. And we can understand that we can really once again come close, and what this ideal relationship is that we sometimes don't, that we don't necessarily feel. So the first approach I'd like to take is the approach of Rashi. And Rashi, you know, again, I'll read just the beginning inside we have on the first page. It says, Achati ber Elokim shtayim zu shamata. Shamati, right? Which basically he's talking about when Hashem said Naseh v'nishma, He spoke one, but we heard two, right? But he's talking about Shir HaShirim, again, that when even when we read the pshat, there's no such thing as pshat. The depth really resonates. Really, it really echoes and reverberates in our ears because there's really no pshat. And I'm going to go to the second paragraph. Va'omer ani sharash lomo baruch hakodesh sha'asidin Yisrael legalot gola achar gola chorban achar chorban ulehetonein bagalos ze'al kibudam harishon. So Shlomo HaMelech saw and Shir HaShirim in Ruach HaKodesh, when he wrote Shir HaShirim, that B'nai Yisrael were going to, you know, that their future was going to be a little bit trying, right? They were going to go from Gullus to Gullus, from destruction to destruction, and they were going to mourn about their, you know, their status that they once had, that beautiful relationship, that kavod that they had. Huliskor chiba rishona asher haya hayu skula mikol ha'amim lemor elchava shuva elishi harishon ki tov li az me'ata. Right? And they're going to remember that first love. Now I'm in a place, I'm going from country to country, from exile to exile, from destruction to destruction. But B'nai Yisrael are going to remember, oh, that first love that we had, that first relationship that we had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how... And they're going to say, oh, I wish I can go back, you know, to my first husband, to that time that I had, that closeness, that relationship, because it was so much better then than it is now. V'yizkiru et chasidav et ma'altam asher ma'alo, v'et hatovot asher amar latit lahem ba'achorit hayamim. V'yesed sefer hazeh beruch ha'kodesh b'lashon isha trura amanot chiyot mishtokeket al ba'ala, mitvapeket al doda, mazkeret ahava nureha elav, umodeh al pisha'eha. Okay, so what is this whole story according to Rashi? It's the beloved, it's this woman going back and remembering all the beautiful things that Hashem, that her husband did for her, and all the things that he promised to give her in the end of days. And Rashi's writing it as if he calls her an amana, Isha Trura Amana, but she's a live widow, right? Because her husband's not dead. But she feels like a widow because she's separated from him and she can't be close to him. But her husband's there, she just can't get to him at this point, and they're separated. So according to Rashi, when Shlomo HaMelech wrote Shir HaShirim, he's writing in this way as if we have this dialogue between this woman and her spouse and her husband, and the woman is constantly yearning to go back to that relationship. We're separated, but I remembered what was, and I remembered all those things that you promised me in the future. And she remembers this, you know, this, the love of her youth, and she's moda, she admits to her sins. Aftodat sarlo b'tzarata, umazkir chasidei nureha v'noi yafya v'kishon peruleha, asher bahem nikshar ima ba'ava aza, lehodia kilo milibo ina, right? And so on the flip side, we have the one side, we have this dialogue coming from B'nai Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the wife to the husband. And on the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the husband, is answering B'nai Yisrael. And what is he saying? He remembers the chesed, the kindness of her youth, and the beauty, and her beauty, and her kishron pe'ula, the goodness of her deeds. And it is these things that really connect him to her. And he tells her that he's not willfully tormenting her. And what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to Bnei Yisrael? The situation that you're in now, it's not because I want it. It's not will. I'm not. This is not what's the end goal. This is not what's going to be. Because once again, you are going to return to me. Once again, we are going to be together. Because even though we are separated, you are always my wife, and I will always be your husband. And therefore, in the future, we are going to get back to that point. We're going to get back to that beautiful love that we had. Originally, that Chibur Rishona, that first love, we're going to come back to Bnei Yisrael because we're not detached. Even though we're separated, we're still very much connected. And that's according to the approach of Rashi. Rashi has his approach, which we say, I would call like the national yearning. Basically, when you read through Shir HaShirim and you read it with Rashi, it's this dialogue between Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who each are remembering the beautiful things that they did. And it will go through historical context about Matan Torah and about how we followed Hashem in the Midbar. And I don't know if you remember last week when we quoted a pasuk from Shir HaShirim, was talking about in the times of Nebuchadnezzar. And it's going through historically all these beautiful things that we had in our first love and how we're yearning to get back to it. And it's this back and forth, this beautiful dialogue between the wife and the husband, between Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how look what we have. And I remember all of these amazing things and how you were this and how you were that and the back and forth. And we're going to get back to that, Bnei Yisrael. Stay strong. I'm still going to be with you. We're separated now, but we're once again going to be together. So it's this concept that I would coin as almost this national yearning to get back to that beautiful relationship that we once had. But the Malbim has a totally different approach. The Malbim takes it on a very much individual level. He also obviously says that everything's a mashal. And there's a mashal and a nimshal, but the mashal, he says, is basically about an individual person. And if you look at the bottom of the first page, we have the hakdam of the Malbim. He says, "Hein adam ba'asher hu adam chayav upul asav yifredu hu l'shnei roshim." Every person, every man, has two parts to themselves, two heads. Kefi shnei hachalakim asher mehem horkav. Harosh ha'achad yifne derech beit om. Hu chaye ha'gof upul asav ha'chomriyim shehu mitzad ha'yoto ben adama levavo pone al ha'tzachot zmaniyot. La'sof hon va'osher levakesh kavod imishara la'ahov chemdas olam v'tanug asbasa, right? We have this very physical side to us, right? We go after the chomriyas, the physical things in life. And because we're a ben adama, right? So our heart goes to temporary success. We want to amass wealth and kavod and honor and power. We love beautiful things, etc., etc. Meat, you know, physical things. We're a physical person. We're an adam. There's a part of us that's very much adama, and so we're drawn towards this one side of us. And then we have the other. V'harosh hasheni yifne l'misila ha'ola beit el hu chaye haneshama upuloseh haruchniyem. Then we have this other side to us, right? That we're turn towards beit el, right? It's the ruchniyah side. It's the spiritual side of us. Shehi mitzad heyota bat shamayim agama pniya l'osha haruchani. So therefore, we also desire wealth. But what kind of wealth do we want to amass? I'm explaining it as wealth. But we want to amass other things which are spiritual. La'asof chachma v'das levakesh yiras Hashem v'anavat tzedek la'avuvet Hashem ludav kabo. Right? There's this other side of us that's very spiritual. We want to fear God. We want to connect to God. We want to amass wisdom, etc. Mo'eset hevleizman. We hate to waste time. Mit kadeshet bitumas hagoya. We want to sanctify ourselves from the tumah of the body. Right? Uliot la ma'alchim bein ha'omdim ha'tzchim. So basically, we have this dichotomy in us. We have this very physical side, and we have this very spiritual side. And that is what the Malbim is going to bring his mashal based on. Okay? So with that in mind, the Malbim starts to explain his mashal. Just turn to the back of the page. We're going to skip. He says, Ki bein hamon hanashim asher haya l'shlomo, chashka nasho raya achat hayefa ben Hashem. So now we have this story, right? When we reach Yerushalayim, it's the story about this King Shlomo. and that how he very much desired this one woman. Yes, Shlomo had a lot of wives, but there was one specific woman that he very much wanted, a very beautiful woman. He mechutna el roetzo bamidbar, but the problem is that she was betrothed to some poor shepherd in the desert. Right? So Shlomo is the king, so Nebuch for the poor shepherd, but the king gets what he wants, so he takes this woman into his castle, he puts a crown on her, he brings her into this glorious castle, he gives her fine clothing, right? He gives her what's appropriate for a queen. He also puts guards around her, right? Hema agva yishmeru bal tivrach el hamidbar el doda. But what's the real purpose of the guards? It's to kind of to watch over her so that she shouldn't escape back to the desert to be with her beloved. Aval l'shav sheker shomer ki hi lo niftal levava el kol cheshek Shlomo nashab b'chala b'avato ma'asa pat bag hamelach v'yayin mishisav ki So, but really, it's for naught. Whatever the king is trying to do, because is this princess? Is she enticed by all these things that Shlomo was giving her? No. Really, what does she want? She's lovesick. She wants to be with her shepherd that's in the desert. And she doesn't want to be with the king. Gam hu zachar la avas kuloseha ubechol yom v'yom hu metalech lefnei chatzar beit hanashim shebel nilkadak lato mashkiach menachalanot medaberi macharei akirod v'chacharakim v'yi tishpoch lefanav sicha mevakeshet yotzei mimasker nafsha v'yisimu sam osos. Okay, so asela tzionim ech tivrach v'anatim tzeehu al harei beitar. So what happens? The shepherd also desperately wants to be with this girl. So what does he do? Even though she's locked up in this castle and they can't see each other and they can't touch each other, what? He comes every day to the castle and he tries to peer from the to connect with her through the walls. They talk through the walls. They have certain signs, right? He peers through the holes. He tries in whatever way possible to connect to her. He doesn't let go of her. And she wants the same. And he puts, and they talk about how they want to be together and how she wants to escape from this, from being trapped. And they make signs. And he makes her tzionim. He makes her little marks along the way. You know, if you want to escape, you know, almost like Hansel and Gretel, follow the crumbs. You'll get to me. We'll be together again. And actually, there are a few times when this beloved is, she's successful. And she's able to escape and to be with her beloved. But unfortunately, Shlomo gets her and he brings her right back in. And according, until obviously in the end, finally, the beautiful girl is able to escape and finally be with her beloved. And according to the Malbim, that's the Mashal. So what's the Nimshal? The Nimshal is these two heads that we spoke about. The beautiful woman is our Neshama. Our Neshama wants only what? To be davek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want spirituality. We want to go after Ruchnias. We want to be close to God and to fear Him, etc. But the problem is that there's this King Shlomo that puts us in his castle, locks us up. And how does King Shlomo do this? It's our body, it's our physical guf that's keeping the neshama from being davek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's the body that's telling us, go after wealth, go after power, go after gashmius, go after all of these physical things in the world. And so we're stuck, but really, does the neshama want those things? Does the neshama care about that good piece of flesh? No, what does the neshama ultimately want? Wants to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is actually talking about Shlomo HaMelech. And so therefore there are times that this woman is able to escape. And that's actually the times that Shlomo HaMelech achieves Ruach Nevuah. It's like an outer body experience that the soul is able to really connect to, that the soul is able to connect to God. But it's hard for us to connect to God. We don't see Him. We have this mechitza, this body, this castle that's keeping us in. So God tries to connect to us and talk to us in signs, right? We can't talk to God directly. We don't have this level of nevuah nowadays. We have a body. It's keeping us down. And we have nevuah. When we speak about nevuah, we speak about an outer body experience, right? A lot of times, a person can look almost epileptic if they're having, you know, prophecy. When the body, the mechitza of the body is removed, then the neshama is able to escape. So God sends us signs to talk to us, to connect to us. This is how you could see me in the world. Follow the breadcrumbs, right? You could see, we learn from Purim, you could see Yad Hashem. You just have to learn how to open up your eyes and see it. But there are signs, it's not direct, because the neshama is really so desperately trying to escape, and the neshama really wants to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's the body, it's the castle of Shlomo HaMelech that's restricting her. And until finally, in the ultimate, in the end, when the neshama is able to really break free. And that's really the future. When we're able to rid ourselves of the gashmius that's keeping us down that here, and really connect to God, and really come close, and really live this spiritual life. That right now, we're in this world, we're in Olam Hazeh, and we're restricted, and we're not allowed to. So that's the approach of the Malbim. This concept of maybe an individual yearning. This struggle between the guf and the neshama. Between the physicality and the spirituality and the desire to once again come close to God and to connect to Him. And then we have one other approach, which is the approach of the Tzur Hamor. If you tell your husbands, it's in the base medrash, the Tzur Hamor is also the Nesivus. So it's like very, tell me you learned some Nesivus today. It's very chasha when I was preparing and I told my husband, he's like, you're teaching the women the Nesivus, you know? I'm like, he's also a parshan on Shir HaShirim. But anyway, it's impressive. So you should go home and tell them. Anyway, so he says, it's very interesting, right? We talk about Shir HaShirim. We talk about the greatness of Shir HaShirim, right? And Shlomo HaMelech, not saying that he wasn't great, but Shlomo HaMelech had Ruach HaKodesh, etc., right? But Az Yashir was written by who? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, Pal Daberbo, right? Moshe Rabbeinu has this high level of prophecy. So what is so special about Shir Shirim that it's the ultimate of the songs, that it's even higher than the song of Moshe Rabbeinu or other songs? But specifically that juxtaposition between we have Shlomo and we have Moshe Rabbeinu, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around this. So this, it's right here, the Tzur Hamor. Okay, and he writes, when you're at the second paragraph, Dehina Amru b'medrash Mashal Amelach Shekidesh Isha V'kasavla Matanot Mu'uto Kevan Shabalo Kachat Katavla Matanot Merubot Kach Hayod Hazeh Erusin Shenemar V'arastich Lila Olam V'gomer Aval Yimot HaMashiach Yiyu HaNisuin Shenemar Ki Ba'olayich Oseich V'gomer V'hanyin Sha'az Titabek hanefesh shehi chelak elokam imal, but hakol shehu akadosh baruch hu v'zeh mechuna b'shem nisuin. Okay, so basically, according to the Tzur Hamor, we have these two different stages, which we know very well. We have the erusin and the nisuin. We have the engagement, and we have the marriage. So he's saying that all of this right now is we have erusin, right? We're engaged to akadosh baruch hu, but ultimately, What's the ultimate goal that we hope to get to? That level of marriage. V'lazeh isi shafir kevan deshira Moshe lo haya rak agula mitzrayim shelo haya rak bechinat irusin ma she'en kein shir shirim she'en kein shir zeh hu davar al ha'olam haba shehu kadshe kadashim u'masaper b'shevach Yisrael ma she'yeh lahem lo'olam haba shehu bechinat nisuin l'kach nekra shir zeh kodesh kadashim. Hey, Otom medaber al inyan shehu kodesh kedushim. V'nechlal b'shir zeh bakashar haYisrael me'ed haKadosh Baruch Hu l'maher lahem zman ha'olam haba hamechuna b'shem nisuin. V'mashal haKnesset Yisrael mevakeshet me'ero shelah l'maher zman ha'nisuin me'erasah shema yimas ba machmat yidiyata shechatu neg do mevakeshet shimchola. So basically, what is different between the song of Moshe and the song of Shlomo? The song of Moshe is all Bechinat Erusin. It's engagement. It's beautiful, right? But we know that there's nothing that compares the relationship between the relationship of an engaged couple and once a couple is married. It takes on a totally different level. And so therefore, Yetzias Mitzrayim was great And we got that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu according to the Torah HaMor. But then, at that point, we were only engaged. Engaged to be married. But we're waiting for the ultimate point. We're waiting for that La'asid level for the Geula, that we can come to that point of that real marriage with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so we beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to please come and to speed it up. We want to get to that point. We want to get to that future. Perhaps we're a little bit nervous that maybe we're going to mess things up. We're not so perfect. And then what's going to happen? Hashem's going to say, I made a mistake. Maybe we need to break this engagement, right? So therefore, what is Shir Shirim about? The Shir Shirim is about the Nisuin, the marriage. And so therefore, it's Kodesh Kedashim, because it's about that ultimate. It's about that Olam Haba level. It's about that ultimate Geula. Gam is a bear b'shir zeh havikuach shebein Yisrael la'aviyem shebashamayim v'havtachar HaKadosh Baruch Hu shelo tehe yiriyah sheyim aspa chas v'shalom v'yivatel ha'nisuin rak shebevadai yavod zman ha'nisuin u'melechanei ha'Yisrael la'arusa la'horor chasdo imano sheyim shach aleinu kimsos chasen akala af shehu yibarach ein lo tzorach aleinu higdil chasdo imano v'samach, right? So basically, when we go back and forth, we have this dialogue between this, you know, the, I'll call the fiancés, you know, the bride and the groom, right? And we B'nai Yisrael, are asking the Kaddish Baruch Hu, let us get to that point, come on. We want to move it along. Bring us to the point of the marriage, because we're worried maybe we're going to mess up. And Hashem says to B'nai Yisrael, no, don't think that that's going to be the case. Even though obviously Hashem doesn't really have a need for us, it's never going to be the case that Hashem's going to decide, that's it, the engagement's over, I'm going to break this engagement. We're going to get to that point. But everything along the way is going to be to get us to that point and prepare us for this point of marriage. So not only is this, there's this dialogue in Shir Hashirim between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu about, come on, let's go, let's, you know, I'd like to, you know, maybe have a spring wedding, let's make it faster, you know, and Hashem says, it's not going to be broken, but we have to get to that point. You have to be ready. Hashem also tells the other nations, no, that there's no point that B'nai Yisrael should ever lose their hope. Because why? Because we're never going to be broken. There's never going to be a point that you're going to be able to destroy them. You're going to come, you're going to try to bring tzaros upon them, but you're never going to be able to destroy them. There's never going to be a point in B'nai Yisrael's life that there is no more hope. Because every time anything that happens, all these tzaros are only that we should arouse Libeinu la'ava tovi barach. It should bring us to that point of connection. Bring us to that point that we're ready for that ultimate marriage. And we should really be able to come to that point of geula. And that is what according to the Torah more of this dialogue before. Hashem says to them, look, you know, it will take on a little bit of a historical perspective, like Rashi, when Rashi says, you know, this is talking about Matan Torah and this is talking about Cheder Egel. And Hashem is going to say, look, we did it too fast. You know, we went all the way from Yetzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah and you weren't ready. So look what happened. We had Cheder Egel. We need to prepare properly for this point of Nisuin. But no, B'nai Yisrael, that anything that happens, you should never lose hope. Because why? Because we are always connected. We are not going to break that engagement. And hopefully we're going to get to that point, to this ultimate level of Shir Hashirim, that what? That we're going to be married forever. That we're going to have this marriage and this togetherness. So I think that whether you take the approach of Rashi, whether you take the approach of the Malbim, or the approach of the Torah HaMor, we see in Shir Hashirim this unbelievable depth and this beautiful relationship and this dialogue that we can have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And especially now, I think it's so appropriate. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of significance to reading it on Pesach. You know, Pesach is that time that we started the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. We weren't necessarily deserving, but He took us out. And look, He took us through the Yam Suf, and He gave the Mitzrayim the Makos, etc. And look how we started this relationship. And this is really how it starts. And Hashem says to them, Look at the chesed you did for me, B'nai Yisrael. Lechtecha charai b'minbar. You followed me into the midbar. Be'eretz lo zrua. There was nothing there, B'nai Yisrael. And we see the starting of this relationship, but I think it's so important just to take a minute to think about, you know, now in our preparation, it's even so beautiful that Erev Pesach people are able to come out and to come listen to a shir, but we're so busy with the cooking and the cleaning and the shopping and whatever we need to do for Pesach to realize, What is this point that we're going to embark on? What is this relationship? What are we trying to work towards? What did we accomplish through Yetzias Mitzrayim? And look how beautiful it is. And hopefully, with this understanding, a little bit of a deeper understanding into Shir HaShirim, when we go to Shul on Shabbos, when we read it, we can realize what we're trying to work so hard to get back to. What's all this cooking and what's all this cleaning for? There's something much deeper there. What are we trying to get back to? And when we understand what we can accomplish, we have that mark on the path of where we want to get to. And we realize how beautiful and how close a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu can actually be.